Local Administration and Veteran Affairs Subcommittee will come to order. Members, please remember to speak into your microphone. Victoria, please call the roll.
Chair Toledo?
Here.
Vice Chair Smith?
Here.
Democratic Ranking Member Goff Marcil?
Here.
Representatives Barnaby?
Here.
Bartleman? Benjamin?
Here.
Daly?
Here.
DeSegley?
Here.
Gia Lombardo?
Here.
Harding?
Here.
Joseph? Mello?
Here.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Persons Mullica?
Here.
Sabatini?
Here.
Salzman?
Here.
Snyder?
Here.
Woodson?
Yeah.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, members. By your presence, we have a quorum. I want to remind everyone that the House has implemented detailed procedures designed to make our meetings safer during the present time. Audience members and presenters approaching the podium to speak must keep their mask on while addressing the committee. This is to ensure your safety and the safety of those speaking after you. I also want to remind members to speak into your microphone when voting to ensure our administrative assistant hears your voice. Please make sure your cell phones and other communications are turned off or placed in silent mode. If you have a laptop, please make sure the sound is off. Members, today we have 9 bills on our agenda. We are scheduled for 2 hours and then lunch. Just remember that. And I intend to finish on time while allowing sufficient time for all of us to speak. First, we're going to take up House Bill 1635 by Representative Ongolia related to Hernando County School District. Representative Ongolia, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Members, is a very simple bill. It changes the way Hernando County selects the school superintendent. If passed, a referendum will appear on the 2022 general election ballot to change from an appointed to an elected superintendent, wherein the first election would occur in 2026. That is the bill, Madam Chair.
Members, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing none. We have no public comments. Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Representative Ongolia, you're recognized to close on the bill.
I will waive close.
Having waived close, Victoria, please call the roll on the bill.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
DeSegley?
Yes.
Gia Lombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marcil?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes, with 2 vowels.
Snyder?
Yes.
Smith? Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Toledo?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, please show House Bill 1635 reported favorably. Congratulations. Moving right along, we will now take up House Bill 1587 by Representative Gregory related to East Manatee Fire Rescue District. Representative Gregory, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, this bill merges 2 fire control districts in Eastern Manatee County, which has grown significantly. So the Eastern Manatee Fire District is now large enough to absorb what was really a far east and rural fire district, the Miyaka City Fire Control District. That merger is going to decrease fire assessments for most of Miyaka City residents and has already been on the ballot and approved by a majority of residents in Miyaka City Fire Control District. It's supported by Manatee County and the East Manatee Fire Control District. That is the bill.
Members, are there any questions on the bill? Representative Sabatini, you're recognized.
Thank you. Representative Gregory, how does the Amish population of Eastern Sarasota County feel about the bill?
You're recognized.
Thank you for the question. Actually, most of them live in west of I-75 in a almost exclusively Amish district, and they are supporters of the bill.
Seeing no further questions, you have an amendment on the bill? You are recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is an amendment with 1 letter in it, adding the letter N after the word the in a Metz and Bounds legal description. That is the amendment.
Members, are there any questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions. We received public comments. Casey Lewis with the East Manatee Fire Rescue District is a proponent. Thank you. A proponent on the bill. Members, we are now... We are now in debate on the amendment. Seeing no debate, members without objections, Representative Gregory, you recognize to close on the amendment.
Wave close.
Members without objection, so the amendment is adopted. Members, we are now on the bill as amended. And we received... We are now in debate. Is there any debate on the bill as amended? Seeing no debate, Representative Gregory, you are recognized to close on the bill as amended.
Wave close.
Representative Gregory, having closed, Victoria, please call the roll on the bill as amended.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Bartleman? Benjamin?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
DeSegli?
Yes.
Giolombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marcil?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Malo?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Smith? Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Toledo?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays. 17 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, please show House Bill 1587 as amended reported favorably. Congratulations. Next, we will take up House Bill 1631 by Representative Gregory relating to Trailer Estates Park and Recreation District. Representative Gregory, you are recognized to explain this bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, you may be wondering why we're kind of down in the weeds and their particular rules for this independent special district, the Trailer Estates Park and Recreation District. And the reason we are is there was a case out of the second DCA in 2019, which held that a district may only exercise powers as provided by law. So that's why by this bill, we are going in, updating their charter and allowing them to revise boundaries, change how they do voting in elections for trustees and about a dozen other items. We have to do that by law for them to be able to exercise those powers. This is a local bill supported by the delegation. That is the bill.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Representative Overdorf, you are recognized.
Representative Gregory, could you tell me a little bit about the illicit gambling that is occurring within this trailer park that I've heard rumors of?
You are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This bill does address and give them the ability to play bingo. And yes, that is how kind of insane the state of the law is, that we have to go in and give them authority to be able to play bingo within Trailer Park Estates. Thank you for the question.
Does this bill open up the gambling statute? Just joking. We've received no public comments on the bill. Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Representative Gregory, you recognize to close on the bill.
Wave close.
Representative Gregory, having closed, Victoria, please call roll.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
DeSegli?
Yes.
Giolombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marcil?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Smith? Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Toledo?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, please show House Bill 1631 reported favorably. Congratulations. Now we will take up House Bill 1589 by Representative Mooney relating to the City of Key West, Monroe County. Representative Mooney, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Committee, Vice Chair, and Ranking Member. This bill seeks to accomplish four things: to conform our election procedures to current procedures of the Monroe County Supervisor of Elections, to ensure that residents in the Keys Energy Service District is contingent requirement for board membership, prohibit the use of Keys Energy Services logo and trademarks on campaign material. Number two provides a mechanism, including a referendum requirement, for the sale of any interest in the utility or substantially all the assets of the utility. Number three, provide direct board control over the age of active state and federal contracts, which Keys Energy is authorized to utilize without rebiddings, commonly known as piggybacking. And number four, add headings to the various sections of the enabling legislation for reference purposes. This is a local bill approved by the delegation, and that is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions on the bill? We received one public comment. Ryan Matthews would like to speak on the bill. Waves in support. He's with the Keys Energy Services. Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Representative Mooney, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Wave close.
Having waved close, Representative Mooney, Victoria, please call roll on the bill.
Representatives Barnaby? Bartleman?
Yes.
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Daly? DeSegli?
Yes.
Gia Lombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marcil?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Joseph? Mello?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Smith? Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Toledo?
Yes.
Daly? 16 yeas, 0 nays. 17 yeas.
By your vote, please show House Bill 1589 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee.
Next, we will take up House Bill 1591 by Representative Plakin relating to South Seminole and Orange County Wastewater Transmission Authority. Representative Plakin, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking this bill up. The South Seminole and North Orange County Wastewater Transmission Authority was created by the legislature back in 1978. It was formed to own and operate untreated wastewater transmission system located in portions of Seminole County, Orange County, and the cities of Castleberry, Winter Park, Winter Springs, and Maitland. The city of Winter Springs never moved forward with their implementation for all of these years, so this bill removes them from the authority. It also modernizes the statute in a few different ways and has some cleanup language in it and makes some minor changes to the board structure. The changes proposed to the Enabling Act are agreed upon and accepted by all participating entities at the local level, and it was unanimously voted out by both the Orange and Seminole County delegations, members of both parties. That's the bill, Madam Chair.
Members, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing none, we received one public comment from Ryan Matthews with South Seminole and North Orange County Wastewater and Transmission Authority. Waiving in support. No additional comments. Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Plakin, you are recognized to close on the bill. Wave close. Victoria, please call the roll on the bill, and please speak into the microphone.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
DeSegli?
Yes.
Gia Lombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marcil?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Smith? Woodson? Yes. Chair Toledo?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, please show House Bill 1591 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Next, we will take up House Bill 873 by Representative Gia Lombardo relating to military affairs. Representative Gia Lombardo, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a military affairs bill, our National Guard. It's a cleanup bill. A lot of the basis of it is to update from the Uniform Code of Military Justice to the Florida Code of Military Justice. It addresses salaries and requirements of key positions such as the Adjutant General, Commanding General. It also updates the manual for court-martials to the 2019 edition. It also revises the membership terms of the armory boards. And it also updates if a physician that holds a license outside of the state of Florida can practice in an emergency with the Florida National Guard within the state. And that is a bill. There is an amendment.
Members, are there any questions on the bill? You know, Representative Gio Lombardo, I believe there's an amendment to the bill?
Yes.
We're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The amendment just clarifies the role of the court martial in the executive branch. It does not conflict with the authority of the Florida courts or the judicial review under the Florida Constitution. That is the amendment.
Members, are there any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, we do not have public comments. Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Gio Lombardo, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Waive close.
Having waived close, members, without objection, please show the amendment is adopted. Members, we are now back on the bill as amended. We have no public comments. Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the bill as amended? Representative Gio Lombardo, you are recognized to close on the bill as amended.
Waive close.
Representative Gio Lombardo, having closed, Victoria, please call the roll on the bill and please speak into the mic.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
DeSegli?
Yes.
Gio Lombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marcil?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Milo?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Smith? Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Toledo?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, please show House Bill 873 as amended reported favorably. Congratulations. Now we will take up PCS for House Bill 337 by Representative DeSegli relating to impact fees. Representative DeSegli, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, members. PCS for HB 337 impact fees. The bill defines infrastructure and public facilities and clarifies statutory text in relation to impact fees. The bill lays out a glide path for the increase of impact fees. If the increase is not more than 25% above the current rate, the increase must be implemented in two equal annual increments. That's 12.5% per year. If a fee is increased between 25 and 50% above the current rate, the phase-in is four equal installments, again, of that 12.5% per year. No impact fee increase may exceed 50%, and an impact fee may not be increased more than once every 4 years. The bill provides an exception to this requirement if a local government, special districts, and school districts establishes a need for the increase pursuant to the rational nexus test. The bill requires special districts to credit against the collection of impact fees any contribution related to public facilities. And finally, the bill requires local government to attest that all impact fees were collected and expended in full compliance with the statute. Madam Chair, that is the bill.
Members, are there any questions on the bill? Questions? We received a lot of public comments. We have David Cruz with the Florida League of Cities. Mr. Cruz, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, committee members. David Cruz with the Florida League of Cities. I want to start off by thanking the sponsor and the chair and others that have put a lot of time into the PCS that we have before us today. It did try to alleviate some of the concerns that the League of Cities has on this bill. However, our members are still in opposition to the PCS that's before us today. And those reasons are specific to the definitions in the bill that aim to address infrastructure and public facilities. The idea behind narrowing what those definitions are is that it would leave out specific uses of impact fees today. Things like capital purchases for police departments, such as police cars, would be specifically left out. Funding for things like libraries would be specifically excluded from being used with impact fee revenues, and so those are very concerning to our members. The idea of a glide path or a cap on impact fees is also a concept that is troubling to our members, specifically because when impact fees are levied at the local level, under current law, under case law, those fees have to be levied under a very specific formula. There's a dual rational nexus test that has to be addressed. There's also a mechanism to raise those fees that requires a study at the local level. In essence, whenever impact fees are raised, they are being used directly to provide for new infrastructure for new residents. Local governments cannot run impact fees at a profit. They're not trying to raise impact fees to generate profit for the local governments. And so any type of impact fee cannot be raised adequately to cover expenses. There's going to be a deficit that would have to be made up by taxpayers. And I think that concept is troubling to our members. Again, we appreciate very much the time that's and effort that's been put into working on the PCS, but at this time, our members are still opposed to the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Robert McKee with the Florida Association of Counties. Mr. McKee, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I am Bob McKee with the Florida Association of Counties. We're very much in the same position as the League of Cities. We're very appreciative of the work today that preserves the dual rational nexus test under current law for establishing impact fees. That has been the basis for establishing the need and the amounts of impact fees since their inception. We also have concerns about the definitional language for the same reasons that they would drop some pieces of infrastructure off the table, particularly in public safety area, that today the impact fees can provide for the same law enforcement vehicles that Mr. Cruz mentioned. They can also provide for a fire station, a fire truck, the equipment for fire, the emergency medical vehicle, where under the bill language, we understand it would only allow for the station to be provided by impact fees, either leaving the need in place or requiring that the local governments appropriate other funds, look to other tax dollars to meet those needs that are derived from growth. We look forward to working with the sponsor and the chair of the committee as the bill moves forward to address those concerns, but we are at this point not able to support the legislation. And we do thank you for the work today. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. McKee. Next, we have Dane Bennett with the Florida Home Builders Association.
Thank you, Chair Toledo. Dane Bennett with the Florida Home Builders Association. Just wanted to make a couple comments based off public testimony. It is very important that as a state, we define infrastructure. If we don't define infrastructure for the purpose of impact fees, what happens is paid impact fee consultants come into cities and counties, and they're often hired on their ability to basically show the need for the largest increase. What we didn't hear is home affordability. For every $1,000 increase in the price of a new home, 10,274 Floridians are priced out of the marketplace. These impact fees are directly passed through to consumers. We have examples right now with counties, impact fees totaling in excess of $30,000. There are plenty of cities and counties that do this correctly. All we're saying is that if we don't define infrastructure, we're leaving it to out-of-state consultants to define it for us. FHBA supports the bill, and we want to thank Representative DeSigley for bringing this bill forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Carrie Hebrank with the Florida Home Builders Association. Waiving in support. Thank you. Next, we have Gary Hunter with the Association of Florida Community Developers. Waiving in support. Next, we have Lisa Hurley with Collier County Board of County Commissioners. Waves in opposition. Next, we have Nicole Fogarty with the City of Fort Pierce, waves in opposition. And she is also with the School District of St. Lucie County, waving in opposition. And St. Lucie County, waving in opposition. That's it with the public comments. Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Yes, Representative Harding, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'd like to thank the bill sponsor for bringing this bill. There was a comment made in testimony that I think is just really fundamentally one of the misunderstandings in local government and why this is coming up. There was a comment that if the impact fees don't cover the cost of infrastructure, then the taxpayers will pay for it. But I would submit to you that the taxpayers are the consumers, and so the taxpayers are going to pay for unnecessary and hiked impact fees, because at the end of the day, the builder passes that cost on to the consumer, which is also the taxpayer. So just wanted to make that comment, and I support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Mello, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Rep, for bringing this good bill forward. I will be up on this bill today. Part of my district is Collier County, and Collier County's impact fees for a starter home are currently $30,000. That being said, that's 125% above the national average. And to respond to the remarks about the fire station that is not receiving, wouldn't receive funding, we have a fire station that is on the interstate between Naples and Miami that is currently not being funded by Collier County, who receives these impact fees and is threatening to be closed. That will leave a response time of over 45 minutes for anyone traveling between Naples and Collier County. So again, thank you, I'm up.
Thank you. Representative Daly, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative, for bringing this bill. I want to talk very briefly and quickly through it, my thoughts on it. Having both local government experience but working for a home builder, I can see both sides of the issue. And as Representative Overdorf can probably attest, I align with the Florida League of Cities 90-some-odd percent of the time, but this is one where we disagree for multiple reasons, the first being builder predictability. When you look at it, you know, for those that are not familiar with the process of taking an unentitled property through that entitlement process, in the case of my company, we don't come in and just outright buy the property and then take it through the process. We'll put it under contract, and then we'll start that entitlement process. So going through the planning and zoning and everything else, that's a 2-3-4 year process. And right now you have a situation where, and I'll get to a couple examples in a second, where cities are coming in with lofty, I would argue somewhat almost egregious increases to impact fees, because candidly, their boards, maybe over the course of the last 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, kicked the can down the road. They didn't want to be the ones to raise those impact fees, so they're sticking somebody else with the buck, which isn't fair. These impact fees should be done gradually and incrementally, but when you've got certain cases like Punta Gorda, a 300% increase, 90 days after the adoption of that increase. Hillsborough is looking at 100% increase staggered over 2 years with 80%, the bulk of that increase going on in the next 7 months, which by the way is in the middle of a global pandemic, right? And so while you're in that second, third, fourth year of that entitlement process, you suddenly get a notification, hey, by the way, your impact fee is gonna be X. Well, they didn't account for that, right? And so most people will say, okay, well, they're just gonna have to buck up and they're just gonna have to pay it. But that's not generally how it works, right? To Rep. Harding's point, it just gets passed on to the consumer. So we as a body always talk about affordable housing, the affordable housing crisis, affordable housing, but we don't wanna look at the reasons for the increases in housing. That cost gets passed on to the consumer. They're gonna end up paying it, which inevitably is just raising the cost of the affordable housing. Right? The nexus to the impact, you've got a lot of folks over the years who have filled budget gaps or done other things, and maybe not directly, but they've done it in a roundabout way. They're using those dollars, those impact fee dollars, to cover other issues, other things that they have budgetary issues with, and that's not right. When a developer comes in and says, hey, we're gonna do this process, here's our impact, they establish what the impact is, they establish what the fee is, those dollars should go to pay and mitigate that fee. For one reason, that's what they're paying them for, and two, because after the fact, if they're not done correctly, then the builder is the one that looks like the bad guy, right? Because the traffic's gotten worse, or there's an issue with service in the area, whether it's fire, police, whatever the case may be, because those dollars weren't actually used for the impact fee that they were meant to mitigate. So I will say I do have a little bit of heartburn with the definition. I'd love to talk with you a little bit more about expanding the definition of public facilities and of infrastructure and public facilities. But generally, I'm up on the bill. I'm a big supporter of cities, but there are certain cities that have misused dollars. And I look forward to working with you, and I'm up on the bill today. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Representative Sabatini, you recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative DeSigley, for the bill. This is just such a common sense bill.
All it's doing is putting some contours to basically make these local governments plan when they jerk up these impact fees. Too many counties and cities in the state want to double impact fees overnight because two or three new people come on the city or county commission and they have a knee-jerk reaction. This bill makes it that if you go up 25%, you have to do it in two installments, and if it's close to 50 or between 25 and 50, you have to do it in four installments. That's not that much to ask. You're just asking them to plan out the amount of taxes they're going to take from people in their community who are building over the course of 2 or 4 years. It's so modest, it should be a unanimous bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Joseph, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative DeSigley, for this bill. So overall, let me just say that I like the premise of the bill. I like the fact that it addresses a lot of the issues that my colleagues talked about, right? The nexus issue, addressing some of the violations, or I want to say abuses that we see with local government. So for those reasons, I ultimately look forward to voting up on the bill in the process. But for today, I'm going to have to be down on the bill just because the devil's in the details, right? So what I mean by that, and I'm happy to talk to you about it, we didn't get a chance to talk about the bill before today. But specifically, I want to draw your attention to, so Representative Daley talked about the nexus. So in lines 84 to 93, where you include education and education-based on those lines. And so those have nothing to do with the impact nexus that you're trying to address, I believe, in your bill. So that's one little piece. The bigger piece, which I think some of the public comment alluded to, was how we define infrastructure. I absolutely agree that we as a legislature should define infrastructure and avoid some of the middlemen that you get with these other folks who come in with consultants and tell us what that is. I absolutely agree with defining that. I'm just concerned, especially as we're looking at ongoing decreases across the legislature for income that's going to be going to local government, which will ultimately get passed on to the consumer, as Harding said, and I am concerned with affordable housing, but we also need those key emergency services, right? So while your bill allows for the structure to be funded by these fees, it doesn't currently allow for some of those other things to be funded. So if you could tweak those things, I ultimately look forward to working with my caucus to, you know, be in favor, full support of the bill. But right now, those things just, I can't do it right now. So I'll be down on the bill today. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Benjamin, you are recognized. Representative Woodson, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you also, Rep. Sigley, for making a lot of changes to the bill. You have worked, you have put in a lot of changes. However, some of the language in the bill is still restrictive to me, and I do have to represent the people who elected me to do the job. Some of them are for it, but most of them are against the bill. And after doing my own research as well, I would support you if you are amenable to make some of those changes that were brought up this morning, but otherwise, I will be down today on the bill until you are amenable to work on some of those languages that are still restrictive to some of the cities that I represent. Thank you.
Thank you. Ranking Member Goff-Marcel, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Rep. DeSigley, for trying to reach out to me. And I was waiting to hear back from my cities and counties. And they are still opposed, so I am still down on the bill. I do like the change that you made, the amendment, and hopefully we can work on it more to make it more palpable for the cities and counties. Thank you.
And thank you, Representative DeSigley, for bringing this amazing bill. This is very necessary because of the abuses we've seen in certain counties. In Hillsborough County, we went from $9,000 to $25,000, and because of this bill, they want to raise it an additional $3,000. Especially during a time where we have an affordable housing crisis, this is not the time to raise money, the cost of impact fees, and then pass it down to the homeowner. Identifying infrastructure is necessary because a lot of the constituents are also complaining about where is this money going? Why aren't there roads being fixed? Why aren't there schools? You're raising impact fees, but yet you're not providing those services. So defining that, holding them accountable, and making sure that the money goes where it's intended to go is absolutely necessary, and I think this is a great bill. You are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members, for this really great feedback. I'm not going to kind of be redundant here in some of the comments, but you know, obviously we have a problem with impact fees here in the state of Florida. We have a problem with the increase, the significant increase of these impact fees. I will tell you that, and you know, we talk about affordable housing. I think that's so important for all of us here. And there's just a ripple effect throughout the economy when we have these significant increases when it comes to impact fees. So that being said, I want to clarify a couple things. As this bill moves through the process, I'm very open to having conversations to include, you know, police cars, emergency vehicles in the definition of infrastructure. I think that's very important. And so I have a commitment to working with all the stakeholders as this bill moves through the process. And it is my goal. It would be great. We have a product that is presented on the House floor that we can have full bipartisan support, which many times I'm not used to. But the good news is that, I appreciate the really important feedback. My goal is to get this right, and I think that we certainly are poised to do so. So with that, I ask for your favorable support, and I look forward to working with each and every one of you as this bill moves forward. Madam Chair, I close.
Representative DeSigley, having closed, Victoria, please call the roll on the bill.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Bartleman?
No.
Benjamin?
No.
Daly?
Yes.
DeSigley?
Yes.
Gia Lombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marceau?
No.
Harding?
Yes.
Joseph?
No today, but look forward to getting to yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Woodson?
No.
Chair Toledo?
Yes.
13 yeas, 5 nays.
By your vote, please show PCS for House Bill 337 reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, members. Appreciate it.
At this time, I must transfer the gavel to the Vice Chair. Vice Chair Smith, I temporarily turn the gavel over to you.
Thank you, Chair. And we'll take up HB 1251 by Rep. Toledo relating to the Water Street Tampa Improvement District of Hillsborough County. Rep. Toledo, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Chair. Members, House Bill 1251 is a local bill that will amend the boundary of Water Street Tampa Improvement District, which is an independent special district created by the legislature in 2018 in order to fund, manage, and maintain the infrastructure associated with the Water Street Tampa development in a sustainable way. The amendment of the district boundary adds approximately 5.2 acres and removes approximately 0.1 acres for a total of 73.8 acres. The amended district will continue to be consistent with the City of Tampa's approved plans and with the city's approval. The amendment of the district will not have any fiscal impact on the current state or local revenue, as the district will continue to be its own sustainable, independent unit of local government. That is the bill.
Members, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, we'll go into public comment. And we have one comment card, Mr. Gary Hunter from Water Street Tampa Improvement District. Waiving in support. Thank you. All right, no other comment cards. Debate, members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on this bill? Seeing no debate. Victoria, call the roll, please. I'm sorry. Rep. Toledo, you're now welcome to close on the bill.
Wave close.
There we go. Having wave close, Victoria, please call the roll.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
DeSigley?
Yes.
Gia Lombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marceau?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Toledo?
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays.
All right, we will report that favorably. And Chair Toledo, I'll transfer the gavel back to you.
Thank you. Now we will take up House Bill 1593 by Representative Smith relating to Seminole County. Vice Chair Smith, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Chair. House Bill 1593 for Seminole County allows the community of Geneva Cemetery to add columbariums, which are above ground holdings for crematory remains. That is the bill, Madam Chair.
Members, are there any questions on the bill? Seeing none, we have no public comments. Members, we are now in debate. Is there any debate on the bill? Representative Overdorf, you are recognized.
I'll be up on the bill today, but only because it's the day before your birthday. Happy birthday, Representative.
Happy birthday. Representative Smith, you are recognized to close on the bill.
I shall waive on the close, Chair.
Representative Smith, having closed, Victoria, please call the roll on the bill.
Representatives Barnaby?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
DeSegley?
Yes.
Gio Lombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marcil?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Persons Mullica?
Yes.
Sabatini?
Yes.
Salzman?
Yes.
Snyder?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Chair Toledo?
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays.
By your vote, please show House Bill 1593 reported favorably. Members, thank you for your amazing work today. You guys are awesome. We did 9 bills in less than 1 hour, so very efficient. Our next meeting is on Tuesday, March 23rd. Please note the change in room assignment. We are scheduled to meet in Webster Hall, room 212 of the Knott Building. So make time for walking all the way across the building. And we are scheduled for 3 hours, so bring your coffee. Representative DeSigley moves that we rise without objection. The meeting is adjourned.